everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Sword and Slime Podcast, a show dedicated to RPGs, JRPGs, MMORPGs, and the cultures surrounding those genres. I'm your host, Ryan. I've got Trung in the co-host seat. And tonight's episode, we're going to be discussing our favorite J and RPG storylines. It is a user-submitted topic. We'll give them a proper shout-out soon enough. But before we get into the topic itself, Trung, what's up, dude? Welcome back to the virtual studio once again. How are you enjoying your time here tonight?
It's pretty comfy, aside from the yelling kids that might happen here and there.
Dude, I told you to leave them far away.
Dude, I locked them in the dungeon. I don't know what else I can really do here to keep
escaping. Oh my god. All right, we're just going to report Trung, everyone. Podcast over. So anything new, you know, for people who haven't listened to an episode yet, which is shame on you, go back and listen to the very first one. I swear you will not regret it. Trung is in a little character arc right now. Progression arc. So you've been working on some coding, you've been doing some cool stuff with an idle game, and you know, on top of everything else you're doing, is there anything new on that front, Trung?
I might have fucked up the code a little bit, so I have to go back and debug everything, and it's awful. Everything is awful.
That's learning, right? Like, you have to F it up something somewhere.
Yeah, since coding is all about, you know, like, carefully typing everything out, so, like, if I mess up a word, or a single letter, or a space bar, or anything like that, I just, like, butchers the whole freaking code. And then... on top of it being game design, like, if you don't connect the files to the right file, you just, like, butcher everything and then you have to go back and find it. It's really, really time-consuming, debugging that stuff.
Trial and error, dude.
Mm-hmm.
As for me, nothing really new on our front. I did order, I don't know if I talked about this yet, I ordered a sample pack of Sword and Slime stickers. They're holographic, using Sticker Mule. Ooh. And they look pretty sick. Right now the limited run is for supporters, because we've enabled the supporter button through Anchor, and what that is, you can choose to support us that way, as low as $1 a month, and you choose that and you're getting a sticker. Later on, like, we'll,
Patreon.
Yeah, almost. It's like a dude, Anchor actually created their own Patreon. So it's called, like, subscribers. So they're creating their own ecosystem to cut Patreon out and other services. But yeah, right now we got stickers on the way. Should be around May 14th is when they're arriving. Supporters have first dibs. I don't care if you live in, you know, some random place in the EU, like our first supporter, Graven. I will pay that shipping for you, brother. But otherwise, they'll be used later in giveaways and things of that nature. But that's pretty much what's going on. If you come by to the Discord server, you'll see a picture in the podcast support text channel of what they look like for now. The first iteration, that is. That's pretty much the biggest thing, the biggest update I've got for us, in that we have supporter mode enabled. So yeah, that's really it. So back to tonight's topic. In the Discord, our very own Discord server, which is fairly new, we have a suggestion text channel, and a lot of our friends, you know, they're more than just fans, they're our friends, posted ideas for us for episodes. And Loch Ness, she's an OG. As some of you may know, we come from Couch Cat Gaming. Trung and I are, you know, I'm a content creator over there. Trung's part of that, and he also edits our Phasmophobia videos over there. So she followed us over to Sword and Slime, and we're thankful for everyone who comes over and gives us, you know, their time of day. And she suggested, well, everyone really suggested awesome things, but she suggested a storyline one, like our favorite stories or types of stories in RPGs, JRPGs, etc. MMORPGs, they have stories too, but, you know, I'm focusing on that aspect because it's easier, Trung, right? But
yeah,
it's cool. It's our first user submitted episode, because everyone is a part of the show. show wouldn't be around without our friends and fans. And it's cool to finally do this. So anyway, there's a plethora of storylines, you know, in the RPG setting, and JRPG setting, though JRPG is kind of, I would almost say it's almost linear. They're either extremely crazy or super repetitive. But I thought it'd be easier to hone in on my, at least for me, my favorite games because of their story. Like, obviously their mechanics were a part of that too, but really hammer in, like, wow, that story has stuck to me throughout my gaming, like, career, right? Or my memories of gaming. And so I'll talk about that. I have two of them that I'm prepared for everyone here. I have some honorable mentions. And then Trunks got his to dish out. And we'll go into fan shout outs and inputs, because we asked, we have a episode input channel in the Discord. And we asked inputs of people's favorite storylines. But yeah. Anything to say, Trung, before I get into it?
I have nothing. Perfect.
I get to talk and hear myself talk, and that's exactly why I started this show. You're kind of like extra, you know what I mean? Like, oh, Trunks here? So, thank you. Thank you for enabling this. What were you saying? Oh, okay. I heard a little bit. I'm going to need to get better windows for the studio. It's not your fault, Trunks.
Yeah.
I went with the cheapest. Yeah, I went with the cheapest windows you can buy in the Sims editor. Anyway, before I get into it, I want to give a shout out to everyone that's here right now. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for listening to the episode live in the Discord server. I've said that like a million times, but I see your comments. I don't even know what the heck's going on right now, but I see Kimchers, my lovely wife. Thank you for saying I have a sexy voice. That strokes my ego even more.
She could talk about me though.
She could. And if she is, we're going to have an issue. I'm going to drive off into the mountains and reflect on this. But yeah, let's get into my first game. And it's a game I've talked about extensively and repeatedly. And it's Radio Stories. It's a awesome JRPG made by Square Enix. It was for the PS2. It was a game that had over 100 playable NPCs to mix and match into your party. And the story, the character design, the combat, it all stuck with me. But the story is what really pushed this game forward for me. Basically, it centers around, you know, a pro tag. He's a son. His name's Jack. He's a son of a famous warrior, a famous knight, because the whole story sets where Jack is leaving his hometown village in his father's footsteps to become a knight of Radiata, which is like an elite knight force for the kingdom. But that's generally how it starts. And these are the kind of stories I like. I like, you know, a pro tag who has to, you know, is choosing to live up to something. Like, there's a standard set, whether it's, you know, that father that disappeared, who's known for that one battle, right, in the game, or famous, you know, mother or father who's a general or a, you know, a tactician, and they died, you know, just from like illness or old age, and now it's your turn to take on, you know, their job or their organization, whatever. I like that pro tag growing up and stepping in and fulfilling or attempting to fulfill that role that was left behind, that wasn't necessarily inherited to him, but it's there, right? It's dangling like a carrot. I like that. And Radiata Stories is about that. Jack, you know, he leaves everything behind, the comforts of his home in his village, to follow in his father's footsteps. And a lot of shit happens in this game. You know, things don't pan out like he planned. He has to join a mercenary guild after, well, he becomes a knight, shit goes down, and now he's in a mercenary guild without his knight status. In this game, it comes down to humans are coexisting with, you know, fairies. They call them you know, the non-humans. So there's like fairies, dwarves, and a couple other classes like goblins, etc. So game essentially comes into a split, right? Where you're chasing your friend that you're for, or Jack is chasing his friend that he met as a knight, who in turn is like actually like an important daughter, and of course he's like falling for her. Her name's Riley, but she goes to one faction. And the game actually lets you decide to follow in her footsteps or to go a different way. And I like stories like that too. Like it has a profound impact on the game. Like your character or pro tag comes to the crossroads, right? And I'm a fan of both, but I especially liked it how they did in this game, the slow burn up into that choice. Cause I feel like a lot of games now, I'll say like Three Emblem or Fire Emblem, Three Houses, and a couple others, like the split is so like sudden. I feel like they really minimize you know, time jumps now in games.
Yeah, time skips and stuff.
So yeah, sorry about that. My studio was breached too. But yeah, so like I feel like time skips are so common now, and it's so early. It's like, okay, it's jarring almost. But Radiata did it right. There's a slow burn. You can build up to it. And then you know, the choice weighs heavier on you. I feel like, so I like that. And I played both out, and the story is actually fleshed out on both ends. It's not like one's weaker than the other. And it ultimately comes down to, you know, that choice comes down to how the kingdom interacts with non-humans versus humans. There's dragons in this game, and they're kind of like the guardians, and they're working against both, though, like both humans and non-humans. Like they actually want to reset the world or something like that. So it did take the ending as well. But that's what made the game so memorable to me, like the path to that split. And then there's still a chunk of gameplay in that split, meeting even more characters along the way. If you go the human route, you'll just meet knights that you never got to party with before. But the non-monsters are like all new characters. And you got to explore both stories, and then ultimately to like the final boss battle, and just seeing how it all came together. And the choices of, they affect how certain characters in your party die or not after the final battle. And it's very emotional, because like you're serving with people who like served with your father, and people you've bonded with. You know, if you want the non-monster side, like you believe in their cause of, you know, finding peace. And then also with Riley, Jack and Riley trying to live together, you know, ever after. And there's an awesome scene where, you know, certain choices, you get to do that. But Raya Stories is definitely my first example of a storyline I like. And it's, you know, essentially the pro tag has something to live up to or a path to follow. Whether or not the game allows you to split in that choice, there's a unique obstacle to overcome, especially in this game where like you're all set. Like you actually believe, oh dude, I'm a knight. Like you go through like the tutorial is basically like the knight tryout. With like combat and stuff.
Yeah. The knighthood and stuff.
Yeah. And then like you just get shit canned like after one mission or two missions, and you're like, what? So I like games where they kind of like dump you on your ass, and you're actually farther back in you haven't made as much progress as you thought you had. But yeah, just that story or type of story to me really resonated with me with that game. And I have a PS2. Slim, because they stopped making those, but just for that game. But yeah, Radio Stories, that's my first game that I want to mention with the favorite storyline. Trung, do you want to go next? Do you want to talk about yours?
Sure. I mean, I thought we really didn't want to discuss an MMORPG, but mine is from Final Fantasy 14.
I mean, that's a good pick though. Go ahead.
Yeah. That game I played for like 4 years straight, no pause. The story in that game is I did play 1.0, but I made a new character that wasn't from 1.0. So the story starts off with you waking up and you hear, you know, a radiant voice telling you to wake up. You're the chosen one.
It's me.
Yeah. Everybody is the chosen one. So you wake up as the Warrior of Light. You have like this immense amount of plot armor that stops you from ever losing, really. And the whole world is basically the story of 1.0 to 2.0's transition is really cool. It was basically as the end of 1.0, there was like this red object coming down onto the planet, but nobody knew what it was. And then as 1.0 was about to close to, you know, move on to 2.0, they revealed that Bahamut was actually inside that little red orb. And he comes out and he destroys the whole world, basically resetting everything. Like, it's cool. It was like a cool meta moment that they had where they basically gave an excuse as to why the world sits reset and why everything changes, because 1.0 was terrible. Like, the game was really bad.
The first iteration of that game.
Yeah, it was really bad. So the story explains itself as to why everything gets reborn. It's because Bahamut attacks the planet. You get sent into the future, and everybody just kind of forgets about you. So you come back and the world has changed. Everything's kind of changed a little bit. And now you try to figure out where you belong in this, you know, this new world. So as you progress, there are these hooded guys, because of course in a Final Fantasy game there's always these hooded people. They're evil. So you find out that they're messing things up, and they're basically trying to bring about another end of the world, because the story gets really elaborate, but they're trying to basically end your world so that they can bring back theirs. Spoilers for those of you who haven't played the newest expansion of this game.
How dare you, dude?
So it's the story. It's really, really hard to explain. It is very emotional. Like, you progress as like this nobody, but you know that you're the Warrior of Light. You progress as this nobody. You do menial chores, but then you also go kill gods. You go kill gods. And people are like, "Holy crap, you're the God Slayer," but I don't know you. So people kind of just shrug it aside that you're just going around killing gods. Like, it's nobody's business,
dude. That's like Skyrim, like where you're killing the dragons, like. Yeah. And like, no, like the NPCs, just like how they're programmed, like no one gives a shit. They're like, "You're the Dragonborn." It's like, yeah, and you still don't give me a discount at your shop. This sucks.
Yeah, so people don't really acknowledge that you're like this God Slayer. So as you progress, the red hoods, the dudes in the hoods start, you know, coming out with their ultimate weapon, which is literally called the ultimate weapon. And
perfect.
You destroy it. And then everybody suddenly remembers who you are. And they're like, "Oh my god, wait, you're actually the Warrior of Light. The guy that disappeared years ago." And then that basically ends the story of 2.0. And then it starts going into the expansions. But the gist of the story of the game usually is like, at the end of the expansion, there's usually like a cliffhanger. Like, for the cliffhanger from 2.5 to 3.0. was that this empress was, she gets poisoned, right? So she gets poisoned and you are blamed. Like, you, the hero, got blamed because you happened to be in the room when she got poisoned. So you become the enemy of the state. Like, from one single night of being the hero to the next, you become the enemy of the state and you have to run. And that's how it goes from 2.5 to 3.0. And like, the story, it's really well written. Like, the newest expansion drops a lot of like different perspectives, because this whole time you're serving, you know, a god, right? Because she woke you up and she was like, "Hey, you're the chosen one." But this newest expansion makes you question, should you blindly just follow a god's orders, basically? Like, you're following this god as she tells you to do stuff, but is it always the right thing to do for everybody? Or is it just because you're doing it because you think it's right? Because in your path of, you know, salvation, you're hurting people along the way, even though they might be your enemies. Like, the world is not black and white. It's basically what it opens up to you, and it's pretty cool.
But it's like subjective, right? What you think is right or wrong.
Yeah, like your enemies don't see themselves as enemies. They never do, unless it's like a corny like Saturday night cartoon or Saturday morning cartoon villain, right? Like, of course they're evil, but in reality, people don't see themselves as evil. So that's basically what this expansion opens up to you. Is like, wait, should I be listening to this god? Like, is she, like, you know, it's a gray area, which is wonderful. Story, the music score, everything just comes together, and it's a really good experience. I mean, it's really hard for me to suggest people to play this game and do this story because it is a very, very long story. But if you can slug through, like, just freaking force yourself to do it, it is one of the best stories I've played in my, like, 30 years of existence on this planet.
Damn. And if you can't do it, just wait for me and Trung to do it, because we're going to, I promise to revisit, because Trung's right. Like, I played it on, I played version one, right, on the Xbox, and it was awful. But then I picked up Reborn for the PC, and even just the first iteration, the story picks you up, essentially, and carries you through that game. Like, you know, MMO mechanics, like, they're almost all the same now, especially in this era of modern, you know, modern MMO RPGs, I'd like to say. But the story from Square Enix, like, for the, and it's in a Final Fantasy setting, like, it's just unreal. It's like unmatched right now with current MMO RPGs. And yes, certain games are not, you know, aiming to tell a story like this, because Final Fantasy in general is very, you know, whimsical with, like, the gods and stuff like that and their lore. But yeah, it's an awesome story. It is. And I, like, every year, Square Enix, through their clunky as fuck website, if you don't buy the game through Steam, I bought it straight from their website. They do, like, they'll have, like, an expansion for free, and I have, like, the first two expansions for free just by claiming those every year, so I'm halfway caught up for when we do this playthrough. But yeah, that's an awesome game. You know, I'm not adverse to your decision on bringing it up.
I still want to, like, add one more thing. I know there might be some WoW players listening to this. I have played both games, and let me just tell you, the story in WoW doesn't make you feel like a hero. You just feel like Minion X, Soldier, Nameless Soldier X. In Final Fantasy, they make you feel like you're the actual main character of that story, which is, like, significantly better.
Right.
I'm a WoW hater, so.
Oh. Don't say that.
Also,
don't say that.
Since we're talking about Final Fantasy 14, on May 14th, there will be something called a Final Fantasy Fan Fest. They will be announcing the newest expansion, which is called Endwalker. They already did that back in February, mm-hmm. But this newest one will elaborate more on what they're adding, and also revealing what the second class is, which people are speculating something to do with a class that wields a scythe. That's all we really know. That's all I got for my input.
And that's when they do their sales. So yep. Follow that if you want to hop in, like Trung said or suggested, because that's when you want to do it. Everything's, like, either free or 50%. Like, the base game will be like 70% off, and then you'll get, like, two expansions for free. I know that for a fact. So
yeah.
Cool. All right. I'll hit my other game, and I'm like drowning in JRPG right now. But my next game, I actually have only played this game recently. I'd say in the last 2 or 3 years. I played it on the way to and back from Japan when I went to go visit our friend, or common friend Gene, our shared friend Gene, when he used to live in Tokyo. So yeah, 3 years, maybe 3-4 years, whatever. Okay, I guess it was kind of long ago, but it's Persona 4. And this is when I bought the PS Vita, because like the 3DS, the PS Vita had a shit ton of JRPGs on there, and RPGs in general, but mainly JRPGs. And a lot of them were cheap as fuck, like Tactics Ogre, which is like the spiritual successor to Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, was like, I got that game for $3.99. And it's easily a $50 game, like what that gives you. But there was a lot. Like, I played Suikoden, I think it was like 2-3 I played, and then I found Persona 4 Golden, and I snagged that because the PSN used to do, they don't do it now, but they used to do sales on the PS Vita titles. And this game, oh, like the Persona series alone has trippy stories that draw like you in, and they do their characters very well. It's kind of like Disgaea, right? Like, there's always like that cast per game, and they make them memorable. Excuse me. And Persona is the same way. Like, I can't wait to play Persona 5 just from eating up all like the anime story, and you know, I think they even started a manga now, and then they're on a next game, but I haven't gotten there yet. It's on my list. But Persona 4 Golden was amazing. It's the classic JRPG trope, right, where you know, it's centered around high schoolers, and it's a darker story than it lets on, because like the protag, you know, it's another protag outsider coming in, you know, coming to visit his uncle and his niece. So he doesn't know anyone here. He's there for like a year of school and summer vacation. And then he's going to bounce. But while he's there, you know, he's meeting a quirky group of friends that you'll eventually, you know, befriend and become best friends with, and eventually date. And that's like, you go through like, it's one of those games where you get to choose your day-to-day actions, right? Like, you have a day, and doing certain actions like kills that day. So you like, you live week by week, and like certain things are due, like, so not due, but they have deadlines, right? And I like games, well, a lot of the time the games are really stressful in that aspect, but I think Persona does it well. Games that allow you to, like, you know, Trung, you know, easy example is Fire Emblem Three Houses, right?
Yeah.
Each, you have that, like, you live week by week. You can't really control the week, but the weekend you can control, where, you know, you're going to either battle, you're going to do for like, you know, like prologue quest,
yeah, free time or whatever.
Yeah. Free time for the food and the buffs and whatever, and lectures, to like boost stats, you know, so Persona does it well, but this lets you go day by day. So you get to choose, you know, what friendships you want to form, like who to focus on, because they give you cards, and cards are used in combat. They're like shards of like mobs you can form, right? So you get to invest in friendships and activities that strengthen something, like an attribute. You get to study for your tests, because there's tests in the game. It very much grounds you in that high school life, but you know, mixing it up with a murder mystery beyond normal terms, you know, like it's almost like a sci-fi murder mystery, because it revolves around this group of friends, these ragtag group of friends, which I love in any story, especially in like the high school setting, coming together. You know, they're kind of like the outcasts of the group, and they end up being the heroes of the town. But they're, you know, just like in Persona 5, like they're not understood by everyone. Persona 5 kind of takes it on the next level, because they're labeled as villains in Persona 5. But 4 does it right. It keeps them on the edge, and they're working together. And I love murder mysteries, man. I love like narrative games that are like that. Like, you know, like Ace Attorney, and then the Switch has like a whole series and being imported to their Nintendo store. It's another like JRPG-ish narrative game about mysteries around school, like murder mysteries around schools and stuff. But I love that atmosphere where like you're meeting your friends, you're getting into gear with high school life, and then there's a freaking murder and it's someone you know. And you're like, what? Like the whole town is upside down over it.
Yeah, they're all shook.
Yeah. And like you're kind of like, I don't really know, because like I just got here. I don't really give a fuck about that person. But you're like, oh, all my friends are kind of crying, so I guess I'll be like, yeah, I'm sad, dude. And from there, it kicks off like you're hyper perceptive. You're noticing things like the TV channel, which were, you know, the game story revolves around the TV channel and this like alternate reality into the TV channel where like the ugliness in people, you know, come to life like as a whole nother entity. And those are like, those are essentially your bosses in the game. But I'm a sucker for stories where the, you know, a murder mystery ruins a small quiet town. I'm the same way with shows or movies. Like back when I had Netflix, I loved Broadchurch, which the dude from Doctor Who's in it, and he's a detective and his life is all effed up. But it's another one of those small town-esque, you know, mystery shows. And I'm just a sucker for that in all forms of like entertainment, like, you know, a book, manga, anime, whatever. But I love games that bring that to life. And then the mystery is just super weird, you know, and like I said earlier, in JRPG fashion, it's just super weird on this one to the left of normal. And I also love games that put an emphasis on like the friendships you create in the game. And, you know, they're not just like a background character. Like they, you know, your investment with this mechanic into building relationships makes them stronger, makes the boss fights easier, makes, because it is a dungeon, it's a dungeon diving game, makes the dungeons easier. So like it rewards these aspects of the story, or the mechanics, right? So the mechanics reward these aspects. But yeah, that's my second like top type of storyline I love in they're predominantly in JRPGs. Especially the high school setting alone, like you can look at like Trails and any other fucking JRPGs. I just like, as soon as I wanted to use these examples, gone. Yeah, Trails of Cold Steel. Thank you, Loch Ness. And like even some of the strategy RPGs, like Trunk. What is the JRPG that's centered around tanks? Like, or there's a tank. But it's turn-based.
Valkyrie Chronicles?
Yeah. Valkyrie Chronicles. Same thing there, like relationships. Fire Emblems, same thing. But anyway, Persona 4 really nailed that, like, murder mystery, small town, kooky fucking story with deep friendships. I liked it. And then the protagonist is, like, not distant. Like, the word choices you get to use are very unifying, right? They're very deep to your group. And then you get to walk away at the end as like the, like you said, like how Final Fantasy 14 Reborn makes you feel like that fucking OP character, like the main character.
Yeah.
After all that hard work and dealing with the bullshittery in the TV realm, you get to like leave like on the last day of summer or something. And everyone's like, you know, in tears and like they can't wait to see you again. And then eventually, like after the credits, you get to come back and it shows like you visiting and everyone's there at the train station to pick you up. But like it felt awesome walking away and like making those, like knowing those people were proud of what you did and like the relationship you bought, like you formed with them. Because Persona really does a good job with unifying a group of characters and making you really like give a damn about them. And like I watched the anime version of this. I don't know if there's a manga, but it was awesome. And then I watched the anime of Persona 5, and it's the same thing. It's just like the upgraded, oh, here's another group of friends I can't wait to cry over. But I love stories like that. And Persona 4 Golden, technically Persona 4 Golden, is just like additional content in the game. But that's my second game that I can really like look back on and be like, those are the type of stories I enjoyed. But yeah, that's it. That those are my two. Tron, did you have another or no?
Does Red Dead Redemption count as an RPG? I guess it does, right?
Yeah, and we'll be doing a deep dive on that later. But Red Dead Redemption is definitely an RPG, and one of the best ones.
Oh yeah, definitely. The story of that game was, so you were this I want to say bandit.
You're an outlaw.
You're just an outlaw. Yeah, with the group of people that you live with that you're trying to just survive together, right? You can do anything ranging from like robbing trains or just helping people out. It really just depended on what you wanted to do with your character named Arthur Morgan. I'm sure most people already know his name at this point. So the story revolves around you know, trying to help out Dutch. You're his muscle. Like you're the guy that he sends out to do things like hassle people for money and all that stuff to pay off the gang, the family. But all the characters are very interesting that you live with, the people that are in your group, your family. All of them are super interesting. They're all funny. And then, of course, there's that one guy that you just absolutely hate, Micah. I think that's his name, Micah Bell.
Yeah. And that's foreshadowing.
Yeah. But Arthur Morgan is a really interesting character, right? Like he's bad. He knows that he's bad. He's a bad guy. But he's also like super, what's the word? You feel sorry for him, you know?
Yeah, like, he's on the road to redemption, if you so choose to play that way. Because the game lets you, you know, kind of like Fable, like the angel and devil meter. But like, yeah, core storyline outside of like, say, like mini missions and shit. He's a bad dude on the road to redemption, and he's growing wiser with the time he has left, essentially, is what you get to pick up after, I don't know, like 80 fucking hours of playing this game.
Yeah. So like, I don't know, the whole time you're playing him, you're just like, wow, this guy's really cool. He's not really that bad. And then you like get really attached to the character. And man, should we spoil the story here?
No, let's wait for the next episode.
Yeah, okay. The Red Dead episode. Basically, you get really invested in this character.
Yeah.
The story is really cool. It's a Wild West theme, so at first I thought I wouldn't be interested in the Wild West theme, but actually like got me pretty hooked into it. It's pretty cool. The story isn't all serious though. There's funny moments in it too, like when he goes to the bar with Lenny and they get like freaking drunk, and then it just keeps phasing you out like every couple seconds.
You're just like puking everywhere.
Yeah, and then you piss on somebody or something.
Oh yeah, you're like, yeah,
you're just looking like super drunk. You piss
down on them, I think.
Yeah, and then you like walk up to everybody. You're like, Lenny.
Yeah.
Where are you, Lenny? It's super hilarious. Like the game's very endearing. It's very fun. Yeah.
Dude, it's a heartbreaker. Rockstar always does a good job. I mean, I think the Grand Theft Auto before this sucked. It wasn't that great. But they did a real good job within the Red Dead universe, because the Red Dead game before this one was amazing. Like, John Marston, like, what a fucking character. And then you get to see through Morgan's eyes of a younger John Marston, and like, you get to play that role as not like an uncle, but just a more knowledgeable older dude, like profession who's this old has been around the block, you know. But yeah, it's an amazing game. We'll talk about more in the next deep dive for sure, because I finally beat it. Kind of, you'll find out. But yeah, good mention, Trung. Actually, let's just roll into honorable mentions. Like, do you have
I have nothing else to say for that.
Okay. Do you have anything besides Red Dead
for honorable mentions? This Gaia franchise, I love all their jokey stories. It never takes it so seriously. And pretty much all the Final Fantasy series from But the problem, the reason why I didn't want to bring up Final Fantasy series was because I have a hazy memory of it. Because back when I did play it, I didn't speak a lick of English. And when I did play it, it was only in English. So the story kind of comes and goes. So I didn't want to really talk too much about the story, but I know that they're good. And
yeah,
I don't want to talk about Kingdom Hearts because it started good and it ends really bad.
Yeah, find out 2 episodes ago, we did a deep dive on our love and hate relationship with Kingdom Hearts, and you'll hear it all there.
Yeah.
It's very passionate.
That's all I got.
Cool. My honorable mentions. One, another game I talk about all the time, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance for the Game Boy Advance. Not Final Fantasy Tactics Lions. I love that story. It's essentially the anti-hero protagonist where, you know, everyone gets, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but everyone gets transported through like a book to another world, which is like the final, like a fantasy world. And reality sucked. They're orphans. One's wheelchair bound. All that goes away, right? All their shitty lives go away. But the pro tag is like, F this. This isn't real. We need to go back home right now. And essentially battles all of his friends from the real world to bring them back. And I love that story. I love being transported in, separated from all your friends. You don't even know where they are. Like, you slowly learn later in the game, like you hear things and then you run into them, but you're on your own. You get to meet your you get to make your own friends and then try to bring everyone back and ruin everyone's fun because it's not real, it's escapism. So that's one of my honorable mentions. And then the second is the Way of the Samurai series, specifically 2. I really liked 1, but 2 is my favorite so far. The rest have kind of been like meh. But The Way of the Samurai, essentially a nameless pro tag, and you know, almost in every game you come to a town, and there's two families waging war, or it's the government versus the samurai, or it's the government versus both samurai houses, like depending on what game. But basically, you're a nameless nobody, but you can kick ass, and you kick more ass the longer you play. And depending on your sword style, because each katana had a different style. And basically, you come and shake things up. And the fate of those like warring factions are in your hand. And you can choose to aid one faction over the other, aid the government, get rid of them both, or ruin everything. Like, just ruin any semblance of like the government's hold and those factions hold on that town and kind of essentially set it free. I think that's cool. And that's my second honorable mention, Way of the Samurai, specifically 2. That type of story coming in and kicking a fucking beehive is pretty cool. But yeah, that's it for honorable mentions. To close out the episode, we're going to move on to our podcast input from our fans and our friends. Essentially, every episode we ask for input to give some good mentions to everyone or honorable mentions to people who contribute. And obviously, with this episode, the question tied into, you know, we asked our listeners what JA/RPG games have some of the best stories in their opinion. And I'm just going to go down the list strong if that's okay with you.
I like to take them too. So we can alternate.
Okay. Yep. I'll start with Loch Ness. So not only did Loch Ness give us suggestions and spark the idea for this episode, she also gave us input. And she states Witcher 3, Undertale, and Nier Automata. Is it Meta or Mata?
Mata.
Mata. Okay. Nier Automata are her three that have some of the best stories in her opinion.
Those are very good choices.
They are, especially Witcher 3. I finally beat that game 2 years ago with all the DLC. I got the worst ending possible. I didn't know that was going to happen, but you know, I just YouTubed the good ending. But anyway, what were you going to say?
I was going to say Undertale is, I like the story because it's very meta.
Dude, I didn't even have to play that game. I just watched Donkey's videos on it and I was like, got the gist, good enough. And Nier Automata, I haven't even touched. I just know there's a lot of crazy fan art, and it's nope.
It's 2B butts everywhere.
Yeah. Not, you know, another crazy eccentric JRPG flair right there. do you want to take the next one, Trump?
Sure. Grawin, or sorry, Graven. Or said,
yeah, it's Graven.
It's Graven. That's so Graven.
Oh my.
Graven says their favorite storylines are The Witcher 3, also Mass Effect series. That's a good choice. And Xenogears. I don't think I've ever played Xenogears.
No, but it's in the Xenoblade Chronicles family. Like, it's we were talking about this earlier, Graven. It's Xenogears, which is like a 1980 something game. And then it's Xeno Chronicles. And then it's Xenoblade something. What did I say? Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an old game, dude. It's an old game that pretty sure Graven's the only one that's played it. let's see. I'll take the next one. Theo says Resi 7, which is obviously Resident Evil 7. Not a bad choice in that series. I kind of like avoided the Resident Evil like train. I missed the stop. Like, I didn't make it to the station is what I meant to say.
I never grew up on it because I was always scared of like scary stuff.
Like, yeah,
dreadfully afraid. Spooky. So
now I'm like, fucking Phasmophobia gives me a boner, right? But
yeah.
The only Resident Evil I played was the one set in Africa, and it was a multiplayer demo on the Xbox, and I played it with our friend Ben for like an hour. I was like, this game is wonky as fuck, and we got chainsawed by like the demo allowed you to play up to the first boss and just chainsawed us over and over. Super unlucky. Okay. So Catchy states their favorite, their three favorite JRPG storylines are Dragon Quest XI, Fire Emblem Three Houses, and Xenoblade Chronicles 2. All three excellent choices. JRPGs for life. Thank you, Catchy.
Say, I watched a friend play the whole game of Dragon Quest XI. Like, all of it, like from the beginning to the end and all the side stuff too. It's freaking long.
So you don't even have to play it.
No.
I need to. I made a mistake. I bought the Dragon Quest. It was on sale. I bought the Dragon Quest game that's like, you know, the like Dynasty Warrior clones, but they do it in like different universes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. It was like Dragon Quest Warriors or something. It was like $20. Yeah, I bought that one. I beat it, but it was a grind. That's the only one I played. So I definitely need to play Dragon Quest XI. And it's on PC now, which is amazing. So, but I like the Switch. So I don't. It's going to come down to whatever is on sale, and it's not going to be Nintendo, because Nintendo never fucking puts games on sale, like ever.
Yeah.
Unless they're like indie games, which have been on sale for their entirety life, like of being alive on Steam.
Or it's like a really old Mario game.
Yeah, or a really old Mario game. You can get the final one, dude.
Oh, okay. Crazyfy, if you know this guy.
Who's that, dude? Delete that message.
He said his favorite storyline was Final Fantasy Advanced Tactics.
There it is, brother. Yep. We played that game together. It was like crack for us. When you used to use like the little like cables to join the GBAs together.
Oh yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like literally like a foot apart. Yep. We played the hell out of that game. Because you could do co-op battles. It was pretty cool. Like, you each got like half a party and did missions. But yeah, no, the story was amazing. Bringing back people to reality. And that is it for our fan submissions with their inputs. Thank you for everyone who submitted your input. We enjoy reading them, and we enjoy giving you proper shout-outs for them. And that ties it. That brings us to the end of the episode. Before I do the whole freaking ending spiel, Trung, is there any last thoughts or anything you'd like to say to everyone before we leave?
I thank you, everybody, for the support. I thank you, anybody that's listening. This is like a passion project for us, so it's really cool that there are people out there that do listen. And I hope you guys enjoy whatever it is that you are listening to. Hopefully we're entertaining enough. I never really thought about ever just like talking, since I'm usually very quiet.
Yeah, so, ever. Just never talking.
Yeah, so this all this stuff is really weird to me. Like, I always associate with my closest friends. So to you guys listening, you guys are basically now my closest friends by proxy, since I don't normally talk this much with people. So thank you again for listening.
Take that back, dude. I'm gonna get jealous.
It's too late now.
Well, awesome sign off. Now it's my turn. Again, give a huge shout out to Loch Ness for the episode suggestion. Glad we could finally start knocking them, you know, off the list. So super awesome. Thank you, Loch Ness. Thank you to everyone that joined for the live recording of this episode. Again, we do live recordings of our podcast very randomly in our own Discord server. And much like everything else, the link will be provided in the podcast description. Again, if you're listening for the first time, and you say you're listening through Anchor's platform, we are available everywhere podcasts are distributed. Check us out on Twitter. We have a Twitter now, and we also have a MeWe. It's kind of weird, but we have that. And yeah, all those things are in the episode description. And again, thanks for the input from everyone. Hope you all stay for a while. But that's it. Oh, here's another shout out. Go over and listen to the Couch Cat podcast, where I'm also another host. And go watch the Phasmophobia videos that Trung edits for Couch Cat. And those can be found in the Couch Cat Discord, which we'll have a link in our podcast description as well. That's it. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Have fun, everybody.